I'd like to start today with asking a question. What is your view of the devil? It's kind of a discussion question, but I'd like you to personally think about what is my view of the devil? And maybe when you think of that question, you might be thinking, oh, get that red picture, this red beast with horns and a fork, and he's standing in fire. Get rid of that. It's really hard to get rid of that picture, isn't it? Well, that's often the cartoon picture that we grew up with, or the movies, is that picture of the devil. In actual fact, in China, in a Chinese background, that picture of the devil is not as strong. Their picture of the devil is more like Monkey King. We've seen Monkey King as a kid, you know. There's different gods and spirits. There's the monkey gods and the horse gods and the river gods and the sun gods, and there's weak ones and there's power ones, and it's this battle, and they've got lasers and they're flying and all like that. That's the Monkey King picture. That's what Chinese people think of spirits of the spiritual realm. But for me, growing up in Australia in a Chinese family who are not Christians, the main thing that we grew up with was work hard, study hard so that you can get a good job and make some money and have a family. That was my background. Not much is spoken about God and devil in my family. And also, I don't know about you, but growing up in Australia in quite a secular world, there's not much spoken about God or devil. And even in conservative Christian circles, we don't really talk about the devil. I had an issue with the devil the other day. We don't say that much, do we? What is your view of the devil? Well, in today's Bible passage in Ephesians 6, Paul, the writer, was saying, there is a devil. The devil is real. All people, you and I, are involved in a daily struggle with the devil. You see, we usually emphasize me and God, but we don't think of the devil in that relationship. Today's passage will be raising up the picture, where does the devil fit in my daily life? If Paul is right that there is a devil, then we need to ask ourselves, am I aware of him? Or am I totally oblivious? Is the devil really there every time I wake up and I go to work? Is there the devil there when I'm making big decisions in life about house and work and where I live? Is the devil there when I open up the computer and my smartphone? Is the devil there when I'm arguing with my parents or spouse or at home with the kids? This is really serious stuff, isn't it? The spiritual struggle we have every day is real. And so the main point of today's passage is there is a spiritual struggle with the devil, so stand firm in God and pray. I repeat that. There is a spiritual struggle, so stand firm in God and pray. And I've broken up the talk into 3 points. The first one is the spiritual struggle. The second one is stand firm in God. And the third one is stand firm in prayer. Let's ask God in prayer to help us to think through this topic of the devil. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today help us to see that the devil is real. Help us to see there is a daily struggle in my life with the devil. Help us to be aware that the devil is scheming, he's working in my life. But Father, thank you that we don't fear him. Thank you that Jesus died and rose and has conquered him. And thank you that you give us the tools, the armor of God, in order to enable us to stand firm against him. And help us to pray, stand firm in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first point is there is a spiritual struggle. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. Keep your Bible open, we've been following that passage. Verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, so he's really wrapping up the whole book of Ephesians. And then the second half of Ephesians chapter 4 to 6 is really about living out the Christian life. And now this is the ending of, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See that in verse 12? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Paul says there's a struggle. Have you ever been wrestling lately? Well, I wrestle all the time with my kids. So the way it works, Ollie's about so high, she does the shoulder charge on me. So, you know, that sort of thing. And Jonathan's really small. So he's not that strong. So he sort of wraps himself on my legs, you know, like he's just wrapping so I can't move. So it's quite fun actually. You know, they're two kids and they're laughing. And it's really great fun playing with two kids. But after 10 minutes, it's not fun anymore for me. Okay, that's enough. I'm getting a bit tired. And by 15 minutes, my voice is going up. Kids, stop it. Daddy said, stop it. Struggling with little kids is tiring. Imagine with an adult. Imagine I was struggling with Albie. You know, locked in the headlock. You know, that would be exhausting. But our struggle is not with people in this passage. But Paul is saying there is a struggle. Christian life every day is a struggle. Being a Christian at university is a struggle. Being a worker is a struggle. Being married is a struggle. And that's not saying choices, you know, sorry. But you know, marriage is hard. You know, we go back to Ephesians 5 about loving my wife like Christ loved the church with the aim of presenting my wife holy and blameless. That's a struggle. I'm so sinful. Being a single is a struggle. Being a Christian is a daily struggle. There is a daily battle. But this struggle is not with people, even though it feels like our main struggle. Our people. What is the main struggle with? It's with the devil. Look at verse 11. Take your stand against the devil's sins. Verse 12 talks about rulers against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And verse 16, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Brothers and sisters, the devil is real. The devil's not that red thing that you have in your mind. It's clearly in the Bible, Genesis 3, Job in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in Peter, 1 Peter 5, here in Ephesians 5. The devil is real and powerful, and do you believe that? This is serious. C.S. Lewis, in his book about the Screwtape Letters, says there's two extremes that we have to be careful of. One extreme is that we give the devil too much power. You know, the devil made me sin. He's making me do this. He's making me, you know, go that way. No, the Bible never says the devil made us. He throws lies, he tempts, he brings in people and things like that, but he never makes us sin. That is our responsibility. The devil, we cannot give him too much power. And the power that he has is lies. He deceives in Genesis 3. He uses lies and twists the word of God of Jesus in the desert. Lying is so powerful. Give you an example. If I say God loves you, yeah, that's true. And as soon as you add God loves me when I'm good, that's a lie. If I say when I'm good, God loves me, that is so wrong. That's not true because I can never be good enough. I can never perform. It's only because Jesus died for me that God loves me. Or another lie. I feel God doesn't love me. just that the I feel, and that's already becoming, is that really truth? Or is that a lie? Can you go by your feelings? Feelings are real, but they're definitely not truth or trusted. We can give devil too much power just because he's lying to us. And the other extreme that C.S. Lewis talks about is we think that the devil's powerless, that he's weak, that he doesn't exist. And you just need to look at our churches, they're empty, they're divided, there's struggles, there's marriages, it's hard. Speaking up in the workforce, just saying, I'm a Christian. My views on marriage. Satan is alive and at work in the West. We see greed, materialism, worship of money, worship of the house, the worship of holidays, the worship of self, the worship of children. The devil's there. Is that in our view of the devil? See, at this closing end of Ephesians, Paul is trying to say, watch out. Watch out! Have you had a watch out moment? I had a watch out moment. When I was a kid, my auntie Macy was driving the three kids back home. And we were driving over the Harbour Bridge. And you know the Harbour Bridge, it's really hard if you're not familiar. All these fast cars and off-ramps and big signs. And Auntie Lisa's not the best driver in normal times. And that night, it was dark. It was raining. And so she sort of was a bit lost and she turned up a ramp. And there was something wrong going up this ramp. And I really recall these lights started coming towards us. And then the flashing of high beam lights right in front of us. And then the horn started beeping. And then just this pause when everyone's starting to realize, watch out! You know, that sort of feeling. And I just made it turns into the driveway and all the car. We were going up a three-way, one-way lane for some reason. This is a watch out moment that Paul's trying to say at the end of Ephesians. The devil is there. Watch out. Are you watching out? Are you aware that the devil is in your life right now, today, scheming a plan for each of you, one for me, one for you, one for them? He's there. The devil's scheming, even though when you're sleeping. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle wrestling in this with the Satan. I wonder whether sometimes we feel like, I feel tired. I want to give up for a few years. Just do this thing for a few years and then I'll get back. Do you feel like that sometimes in the Christian struggle? You sometimes feel like at church, I've just poured out my energy and my life. I just want to step back and take care of myself. And there's wisdom about self-care, but are we wrestling with serving? True service, outputting, loving, putting the needs of my brothers and sisters before myself. That is struggling and hard work. But we've got to remember behind all our life struggles is the real spiritual struggle that we face with the devil. It's serious stuff. It's urgent. We don't want to give him a foothold. Watch out. So this is the first point, our spiritual struggle against the Satan, against the devil. And so that leads us to the next two points. How do we stand up against the devil's schemes? Stand firm in God. You see, we can't stand up to the devil. You know, I feel pretty strong lately. I've been doing running every 2 days. Joyce will tell you, I wake up early, I've been running. I do my app, I get my app and I'm doing exercises lately. It's really good for my body, so I'm feeling really strong. But I can't stand up to the devil. Human strength cannot stand up to the spiritual power of the devil. We need God. And so that's why I look at in verse 10. Finally,
Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong. What does that mean? It actually, Paul talks about the word strong and power in chapters 1, 19 to 20. Click over with me through chapters 1, verse 19 to 20. And look at verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, and in his, God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. See, power and strength. What is God's power? What is God's strength? Verse 20, this is a key, that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So we see God's power when Jesus was from death resurrected, and not just resurrected, when Jesus was raised to life. Look at that, 21. Far above all rule and authority, power, dominion. Note these, verse 21, similar to the verses in chapter 6. Far above all rule and authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the Jesus, the resurrected, raised Jesus, has conquered everything, but most importantly, the devil. He's victorious over the devil. So we don't fear the devil because Jesus is way above him in his resurrection and ascension. And more than that, you don't have to look, but in Ephesians 2, it talks about Christians are also raised with Christ. And so we do not fear because we seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You see, you guys look really normal. No, you look really normal. So there's guys, there's girls, there's older ones, there's younger ones, there's Caucasians, there's Asians. You all look very normal. But spiritually, you're not normal. Spiritually, we are raised with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are seated with Christ, and so even though there's a struggle with Satan, we do not fear. He's got no power because we're in Christ, we're with Christ. Christ is victorious over him. But there is a struggle. And how do we do that? How do we stand firm and be strong in the Lord? Where he talks about the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. And this armor of God, well, it has Old Testament references to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, chapter 59. And so in Isaiah, this armor is God dressed in these different parts of this different armor. And he's going out to save his people. This is God's armor. And so it's reinforcing, it's not our strength, it is God himself protecting us, saving us. And so that he lists all the different parts. The belt of truth in verse 14. Truth. God blesses us with truth. Put on truth. The devil's coming in with lies, trying to deceive Christian and non-Christians to live this way. But a Christian, because we follow truth, we say, oh, I don't want the lies. No, I'm going for truth. Hold on to truth. The next one, breastplate of righteousness. We are made right in Jesus. Imputed righteousness. And chapters 4 to 6 is about living out this righteous life. Living out as Christians. And then the third one in verse 15, the gospel of peace. I think in Ephesians, peace is about the peace we have, the vertical peace with God. But a big theme in Ephesians is the horizontal thing of Jew, Gentile. We're all one in Christ. That we're not divided. And then the fourth one in verse 16, the shield of faith. That we live by faith. We don't earn this. It's not by works, we're saved from what God's done. And then chapter 17, the fifth one, the helmet of salvation. Chapter 1 just lists out the salvation we have. We're adopted. We're chosen. We're made blameless. God redeems us. He's forgiven us the salvation we have. And verse 17, the sixth one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stand firm in these things. Put them on. Live out these things so that you can stand firm against the devil. So, are we standing firm? Stand firm is a big theme in these verses. It's referred four times actually. Verse 11, so that you can stand firm against the devil's schemes. Verse 13, so that you may be able to stand your ground. And the second half of verse 13, and after that you have done everything to stand. And then verse 14, stand firm, then stand firm. You see, the context of Ephesians is about Gentiles who have become Christian, and Paul's told them that what they have in Christ, to live it out, chapters 4 to 6, to walk, to live. And here, this ending section is saying, stand firm in that. Don't go back into your old Gentile ways, stand firm in this new way of living. Well, stand firm is perseverance. Stand firm is to be unmoved by the lies of the devil. That when temptation is there, stand firm. Stand firm means for me loving my wife, putting her needs before myself. When work tempts me, when riches, career, success tempts me, stand firm. Stand firm when everyone else is taking their kids to tutoring and activities and everything that comes with all that, and it's filling up my life so much that it's overwhelming. Stand firm. Stand firm in personal godliness. Am I struggling and wrestling with sin, or have I given up? This is not a holiday, a vacation, to sit back, relax, enjoy life. This is a daily spiritual struggle. We never retire until Jesus or God calls us back. Have you seen those movies? There's lots of movies nowadays about armies and war and things like that, aren't there? Where the enemies are sort of, you know, charging, you know, or they're on horses or beasts or whatever, and they're charging and they're gruesome. And then the commander calls out to the soldiers on the line, stand on this line, stand firm, get ready, and don't relax. So the soldiers don't just go, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice day today. They don't say, oh, I've got to have a break. I need to go to the toilet. Sorry. No. Paul is saying, no. The struggle's there. Stand firm. You may be tired. Stand firm. You may feel like running away and giving up. Stand firm. And the question is, are you standing firm today? Have you allowed the devil's lies to creep into your life and they're just there and you accept that? Is that acceptable? I've been reading a book about spiritual growth lately. And it raises three questions. It says, how could you describe your walk with God over the past year? Would you describe your walk as a standing firm walk? Or would you describe it as up and down, not too good, alone, not so good? How would you describe your walk with God? Would you consider yourself a standing firm person? Next question. Does someone hold you spiritually accountable? Are you open to sharing the sin in your life? And not just sharing, because I find some people share, but when people give them feedback, they don't want to hear it. They just want to hear people. They want people to hear it, but they're not willing to accept criticism or suggestion. Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening, but I'm going to keep doing it. Do you accept feedback from others? Are you sharing and wrestling, standing firm? It's very hard for an Asian man to share sin. But not only that, to share the journey of sin, isn't it? One thing, I've just three things that I feel is appropriate for this congregation at 11 PM. The first one I'd like to share is purity. I believe everyone should have something like covenant eyes on their computers, on their smartphones, to protect men from the internet. Has to be. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust the big companies. I don't trust the internet. I don't trust myself. But most importantly, I don't trust the devil. The other thing, the second thing, marriage. Marriage is so hard. I think it's not easy being married. I'm not saying that about choice. It's not me. I just meet so many men. I love meeting men, talking, reading the Bible. And marriage is not easy. But we need to keep growing. If there's a problem in your marriage, deal with it now, please. Don't wait till the last minute and get a counselor and it's too late. Stand firm in your marriage, men. Love them like Christ loved the church. The aim will present them blameless on the last day. And women, are you submitting to your husbands? Do you respect them? Do you support them? Do you use words of encouragement? So that's the second one in marriage. The third one is greed. You know, Ephesians raises a few times in chapter 5. Not a hint of sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. I'm Chinese, and I confess I'm greedy. I confess it. And I know Asians find it hard to be generous. Asians find the house, the career, hard to give up. And because I know it's hard. And I'm still greedy. But I know a lot of people here are personally. I know, not personally, sorry, I don't mean that. But you know, we're greedy. We love money. Admit it. We love security. We love our careers. And you stand firm. That's the second point. Stand firm in God. Leads us to the third point. Stand firm by praying. Verse 18 to 20, please look at me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Just an observation. Paul is emphasizing prayer in three ways. Firstly, he starts with broadly. Pray for everything, all occasions, all kinds of prayers. And then he moves into praying specifically for Christians. Note the be alert. I think the be alert ties in with the idea of the devil. Are we alert, praying for people around us as they wrestle with the issues that devil is involved in? And then the third one, very specifically, pray for Paul to him fearlessly declare the gospel. So broadly, people, and then the gospel. It's interesting, Paul asked them to pray for him to proclaim the gospel fearlessly. Paul says fearlessly twice, verse 19 and 20. Paul, one of the greatest apostles to be known, great church planter in history, New Testament books by him, asking that they would pray, pray for him to be fearlessly preaching the gospel. I think it shows his humanness that even the apostle Paul, as he's in jail, he's in chains, he's ambassador in chains, he was fearful. But at the same time he knew, even though there was opposition, they were stopping him from preaching the gospel, he wanted to keep doing it. And he knew that behind these authorities was the struggles. The devil was the main thing stopping him from preaching the gospel. He's asking for fearless gospel proclamation.
Do you get afraid to share the gospel yourself? I do. Yeah. I get afraid to walk up to a stranger and say, I'm a Christian, would you like to know about Jesus? I get afraid to stand up in my work, in the workplace and say something about Christian view. I'd be afraid going to the doors of every door along the street, knocking on those doors and saying, hi, I'm from this church, welcome to come. I would be afraid. I would be afraid to, I'm afraid of the loss of financial security in ministry. I'm afraid to take our children to a country where it's polluted, where the education system I don't trust and the hospital system I don't trust. I'm afraid, as my father is recently diagnosed with dementia, I'm afraid. And so are you. You're afraid. And the great thing is, Paul was afraid to preach the gospel. And yet Paul was asking for that you would pray for him that he would fearlessly preach the gospel. We need men and women, yes, you're afraid, but willing to be fearless gospel preachers here. We need that, don't we? And yes, you're like me. I'm afraid, but we need it. We need to stand up, stand firm against the devil, who does not want us to pray, who does not want us to be preaching the gospel. Are you standing firm? Are you praying? The devil doesn't want us to pray for missionaries. The devil does not want you to pray for the pastors, for the small group leaders. The devil does not want you to be praying about preaching the gospel where you're working or on the campuses around here. The devil does not want you to preach the gospel at scripture. The devil wants people to give up, pull back, and stop gospel preaching for other things. One of the great privileges of being in our role is to meet great people. And one of the great encouragement is I get to go to this prayer group. And this prayer group meets in Chatswood and Pimble. And I remember the first time I went to this meeting. And and you go into their house. And these people are very old, actually. And so their furniture are like those antique furniture, you know, that are really expensive. I'm sure when they bought it, furniture was brand new. And they also, when you go in, one of the ladies says, hello? What's your name? I said, Michael. What? Michael! And, you know, pretty much her hearing's going, but she's a lovely lady. And then there's one man, he's sort of just back there, his eyes closed most of the time. And he's almost snoring and sleeping. But I learned that he's got dementia lately. And one of the ladies has cancer recently, she's just frail. And, you know, that look, that struggling, you know, going through chemo. They're very old. But they've been praying for the work of the fearless gospel preacher for years. Every month they meet to pray for gospel workers in Japan, Philippines, and wherever. See, these old people, although physically old, they are still spiritually struggling, wrestling in this struggle with the devil, praying for the fearless gospel preacher in all parts of the world. Are you praying? Are you praying for the fearless gospel preaching? Even in the gospel, even in the church. Or are you like me? Too busy, too lazy, too tired, too complacent. I'm talking personally, need to stop reading the newspaper online every day. I don't know why I like reading the newspaper a few times a day. I need to stop checking my emails, my WhatsApp, my Facebook, my Instagram, and I need to start praying. How is my prayer life going? Is our church praying? Is my small group praying? Are we united in praying
or is the devil winning in this area? So this is the third point, stand firm, pray. So in the introduction, I ask the question, what is your view of the devil? Is your view really just the red horns in fire? Or is your view like Paul? Is your view that the devil's real? He's scheming in my life. There's a daily struggle against him. Is that your view of the devil? This is serious stuff, isn't it? He's getting in. Or am I standing firm? Am I standing firm praying? Persevering and struggling, putting on these armor, these aspects, growing and living them out. If we're not, there's something wrong. Maybe we've given up. Maybe we've listened to the lies and the deceits of the devil. And then on that note, let's pray. Pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we are all involved in a spiritual struggle with the devil. But Father, thank you, even though it's a challenging talk, we know that you are victorious. Jesus has conquered death, he's risen again, he rules, and he's over the devil. And we are victorious. We sit and stand with him in heaven. We need your power and strength today. We need to be putting on our armor. We know we want to stand up to the devil and not let him win. Help us to stand firm. Help us to pray. We pray for the ministers, Alby, Gordon, that they will stand firm and their families as well. We pray for the Bible study leaders, for the service leaders, that they will stand firm. We pray for the music team, that they will stand. But we pray for the children's people involved in children's ministry, the scripture teaching, that they will stand firm, that they won't feel like they're just wasting their time. And we pray for the government in Australia, that they won't restrict the preaching of the gospel. And even if they do, we pray we'll be standing firm and that we'll still preach, even if it's illegal here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.